Not preparing for a dance, so don't worry. Whoever put that water there, thank you. Okay, if I'm going to tell a story now that's found in the Bible. If you want to follow it in your Bibles, it's Luke chapter 7 and verse 36 to 50. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to come along to his home for dinner. And Jesus accepted, and he went along, and he reclined at the table. Now, in the town, there was a woman who was known for her sinful nature and for her sinful lifestyle. She decided, when she heard that Jesus was at this Pharisee's house, that she would go along. And she took with her an alabaster jar full of perfume. She stood behind Jesus at his feet and she wept. And she wept. And the tears fell onto the feet of Jesus. She knelt down and she took her hair and she wiped his feet. She kissed them and she poured oil on them. Now when the Pharisee who'd invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what type of woman was touching him. He would know that she was a sinner. Jesus turned to the Pharisee and said, Simon, I've got something to tell you. I've got something to tell you. Simon said, what is it, teacher? Tell me. And he said, there were two men who owed a debt collector a great deal of money. One owed 500 coins and one owed 50 coins. The debt collector cancelled their debt and forgave them everything. Who do you think would love him more? So Simon answered, I suppose the one who had been forgiven more. And Jesus says, you have answered correctly. Then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your home. You didn't give me water to wash, but she has washed my feet with her tears. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but she, from the moment I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't offer me oil for my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. I tell you, though her sins were many, they have been forgiven because she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then he turned to the woman and said, your sins have been forgiven. Now all the other guests thought to themselves, who is this that he forgives sin? Jesus turned to the woman and said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, Simon had not invited Jesus to his home to get to know him. He hadn't invited him to have pleasant conversation, to talk through the scriptures. He'd invited him for one reason only. He'd invited him because he wanted to trap him. The other guests were Pharisees also, and they wanted to trap him because they hated Jesus. Because what he did, his message was just totally alien to everything they'd done. If Jesus was who he said he was, then everything they believed in was false. But how sad. If they'd have realised who Jesus really was, then there wouldn't have been room at Jesus' feet for that woman to get there. Because each one of them would have been there themselves, fallen prostrate before him, weeping and crying because of their sins. Verse 37 tells us things about the woman. She wasn't invited. She wasn't an honoured guest. It doesn't tell us what her sin was, but many of the scholars tell us that they believe she was a prostitute, a common place for women who were destitute, who were widows or not looked after by anybody else. It was the only place they could turn. There was no social services, and they had to feed their families, and many of them turned to prostitution. Of course, viewed upon as a great sinner because of this profession, she would have been banned from the synagogue, which meant she had no fellowship whatsoever with the people, with the Jews, the people in the town who attended synagogue. Whatever their circumstances were that led her to that, whether she was just abused as a youngster, whether she was just mistreated, or for whatever reason she couldn't marry, she ended up in that state. This would have created within her a bad self-image. She'd have felt worthless. Society would have made her feel worthless, rejected. She would have been the object of criticism. The wives of her customers would have hated her, would have spat on her, called her names, ridiculed her. Many of the children in the town would have followed behind, throwing rotten vegetables or stones, hailing abuse at her whenever she went out, wherever she went. That was her life within the society. Mothers would have warned their daughters, don't you end up like that woman. Don't you end up in that situation. She would have been the brunt of all the nasty jokes and the jibes that people would spit out at her. They would vent their anger upon her. Rather than looking at them sinful selves, they'd take it all out on her. She would have been inwardly broken, with a broken heart bleeding from within. Her spirit would have been broken and wounded. Nowhere to go, no one accepting her. Perhaps you feel like that. You may not have gone into the profession of that woman, but maybe life has not been good for you. Maybe you've fallen into those feelings for different circumstances for each one of us. You may feel rejected, unloved. You don't feel welcome wherever you go. That's a big problem in our society, broken people. Maybe in the past you've failed in something. It's left you humiliated and unsure. You don't really know where to turn. That's a place that many people find themselves in. Feeling weak, fragile. You can't seem to pick yourself up. You don't know how to move on. You don't know where to go from here. But for that woman to go to Simon's house, it must have been hard. It must have took some courage, because she knew as soon as she walked into that place, she would be rejected. She would be pushed out or pushed to a corner. She would have been viewed as the sinner and a conveyor of uncleanliness. Her touch was considered to be like a transferable disease. If she, the sinner, was to touch you, a good Jew, you would become unclean, because you've been touched by a sinner. She must have heard of Jesus. She maybe would have heard his preaching and his teachings. She would have, for the first time in her life, heard a man speak gracious words over her. This must have intrigued her. He spoke differently than the others. He spoke of God's love, not judgment. Of God's healing and God's restoration, what God could do for her. He spoke of the Father's kingdom, a kingdom where there is no pain, where pain can be healed, where it's just love, not hatred, not bitterness, not rejection. Could she be a child of God again? Could God transform her life again? Could she become a full citizen of the kingdom of God? Could it be possible? Because everybody else told her that she was destined for hell. She was rejected by everyone. But could this man be different? Now, she's still broken, but can see the light at the end of the tunnel? Hope beyond her pain. Early in the meal, no one really focuses on the woman. All focuses on Jesus, because as I mentioned before, they want to trap him. They want something against him to discredit him. That's what it was all about for the Pharisees of the time. If Jesus was who he said he was, their whole world would change. The Pharisee Simon may have been uncomfortable that the woman's there, but he's not going to say anything because he doesn't want to cause a fuss. He wants to put the pretense across that he's a good host, accepting of all, but he wouldn't have been comfortable. He doesn't want a scene. All focus is on Jesus, and the woman weeps, and the tears fall on his feet. Each tear making a stain in the brown dust on his feet. She unfastens her hair, takes away the head covering that she may be wearing, and her hair falls loose. She wipes the feet of Jesus. Now, in those times, to have your hair loose, for a woman to have her hair loose in public, was considered shameful. So she started acting shamefully as far as the people were concerned by letting her hair down. But that didn't deter her. In 1 Corinthians 11:15, it tells us that a woman's hair is her glory. She gives the best of what she's got to Jesus. She wasn't ashamed to let her hair down. She wasn't ashamed to show what was considered beautiful about her and give it to Jesus. She wipes his feet and she kisses them and she pours a scent on them. Once that flask of oil was opened, everybody in the room was aware that she was there. After all, that would have been her trademark. She would have put splashes of the perfume, the sweet-smelling perfume, on her neck, on her body, to attract her customers. So everybody knew that she was there. That scent would have filled the room. It tells us in another passage when Mary, the sister of Martha, opened oil and anointed Jesus' feet, ready for his burial. It tells us in that passage that the whole room was filled with the smell of the perfume. So in this case, it would have been the same. Everybody immediately would have noticed that scent. All attention now turns to her, away from Jesus and to her. Weeping, and she was weeping, wiping, caressing the feet of Jesus, her long black hair, wiping his feet, kissing him and the perfume, a mark of intimacy, of affection, which would have been shocking to those who were in the room. And when you had a reputation in the community to that, downright scandalous. As far as Simon was concerned, this was scandalous. That's at least how he interprets it. Simon assumes that a prophet would know what type of woman this was. He would know how immoral she was. He would know the life she led. It didn't occur to Simon that Jesus was God, accepting of all who truly repent, accepting of all who come to him. Simon wasn't aware that this woman was actually in the act of repentance for the life that she'd led. So Jesus explains what was happening right before his eyes. He was witnessing redemption in action. A person worshipping God with a humble gratitude because she was forgiven of all the sins that she'd ever committed. And she was thankful, and she was going to show it. She wasn't going to sit meekly by and go, yeah, I'm a Christian, I've been saved, but I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not going to raise my hands in worship. I'm not going to dance. I'm not going to express myself. Oh, no. She knew what Jesus had done for her, and she was not ashamed to show it. But then Jesus turns to the woman and says to Simon, do you see this woman? Jesus asks him right out, do you see this woman? All Simon saw was a prostitute. All Simon saw was a sinner. All Simon saw was someone unworthy to be associated with. He didn't see her acts of worship for what they were. But Jesus misses nothing. Jesus knows everything. As has been shown in this passage, he even knows our thoughts when we don't speak them. He knows exactly what you're thinking now. He knows if you'd rather be at home making sure that the Sunday roast isn't burning. He knows that. He knows if you're thinking, hurry up, there's a football match on later. He knows. He knows right now what's in your heart. He knows whether you're interested in him or whether you're not, whether you're more interested in other things. But what Jesus saw, he did see her sordid past. He did see her sinful nature. But he also saw her humble present. But he also saw her glorious future. What she had in him. What she had as a follower of him. Her destination had changed from hell to heaven in one act of submission to Jesus. In one moment of acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Saviour, her destiny changed in an instant. She was now destined to spend eternity with God, with Jesus, forever. Instead of judging her, as Simon had, Jesus turns the judgment on Simon. He uses the three comparisons. Jesus describes how he was honoured by the woman and how he was dishonoured by Simon. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see her for what she is, for what she's become, and what she will be? Jesus explains, I came to your house. You didn't give me water. You didn't kiss me feet. You didn't give me oil. But this woman, she washed my feet in humble adoration. She kissed my feet in love. And she poured perfume on my feet. Jesus' point's not hard to guess. Simon's actions show no love whatsoever. In his religious state, it wasn't about love. It was about works. What can I do to achieve? The woman lavishes love on Jesus. It's not about what can I do. It's how I can worship for what I've received freely. I didn't have to earn it. It was given freely. How can I show my appreciation? Jesus builds upon the parable, and the focus changes from love to forgiveness. Many sins forgiven by those who love much, but little love is shown by those who consider they've not got much sins to forgive. We've all met people in society who've lived a decent life, and they don't accept that they're actually a sinner. They don't accept what the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter whether you're a mass murderer or whether you've just cheated on your taxes Or you've walked past somebody who needs help and decided nothing to do with me. Sin of omission. You didn't help when you could. It's still sin. Putting ourselves before God, still sin. It's like the exam mark. You can have a pass mark of 40% and you get 39% and somebody else only gets 1%. Both failed. You can't turn around and say, ah, yeah, but I didn't fail as badly as that person. You failed. To help Simon and others, Jesus tells the story. And he interprets the story for them. The woman's devotion in tears of forgiveness of sin. Can you imagine Simon's reaction when Jesus speaks to him like this? He was probably very angry. And the anger showed. Who is this man to tell me? I'm no sinner. Why do I have to repent? Jesus' story shows that the woman is to be honored, but it puts Simon in a bad light. It shows him to be the bad host he is. He doesn't need forgiveness as far as he's concerned. He keeps the law. But Jesus doesn't linger on Simon for long, or his faults, because that's not what Jesus does. He doesn't tell you, you're a sinner, you've done this, you've done that, you've done the other. What he says is, you're a sinner, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. I have come that you might be forgiven. That's what Jesus focuses on. What I can offer you, not what you've done wrong. What I've got to offer you if you just simply come and accept. So Jesus tells the woman, your sins are forgiven. Jesus never dismisses sin, but he does forgive sin for those who truly repent. The other guests still don't get it. Who is he that can forgive sins? They know the law. They know their Bible. They know that only God can forgive sins. So they're not saying, who is he? What they're saying is, he's saying he's God. And we don't accept that. And that's our choice today. Do we accept that Jesus is God? Do we accept that Jesus can bring forgiveness? Because if we do, then there's only one logical answer. We give our lives to him. We accept his forgiveness and we move on with him. The other option is, we don't believe Jesus is God. And then what's the point? What's the point of even coming to church? Because if you don't accept that Jesus is the Saviour, if you don't accept that Jesus is the one who can get you into heaven, then what's the point? You just come into a social event. That's all it is. If you accept that he has forgiven your sins, we come and enter into an act of worship, just like that woman. That's what all the songs were for. Today was to express how we feel about God. But worship is not just the songs. As this woman's demonstrated, it's a lifestyle of worship. So Jesus then says, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Now that might just sound like a statement to us, but to that woman, it meant so much, because that statement was, it wasn't go in peace, it was the word that was used was shalom, a blessing given from one God-fearing Jew to another. It was the wholeness of that peace. That peace. So the light floods into her life. She now realizes there's a change. Her soul has been touched, because that phrase means prosperity, wholeness, goodness, and the full blessing of God. Given from one Jew to another. In that one phrase, Jesus has told her that she's accepted back into the fellowship and salvation of God's people. She would not have heard that phrase ever since she'd been put out of the synagogue. She now hears that phrase and knows that she's accepted back into the community of believers. That's what Jesus offered her. So the woman's silent adoration of Jesus was worship. What she poured out on the feet of Jesus was love. Her tears, her kisses, the perfume was just love, love, love poured out to a Saviour who changed their life forever. In comparison, Jesus told Simon, "He who forgives, who has been forgiven little, will love little." And that's how he was. But in truth, no one should ever fall into that category, because each one of us has been forgiven many, many sins. Not one of us could stand up here and say we have never, ever sinned in our life, ever. All of us will be reduced to tears of gratitude for what Jesus has done for each one of us. We should be on our faces before him. And the woman understood that. And that's why Jesus told her, "Your sins have been forgiven." There's not a greater phrase to hear from Jesus, that your sins have been forgiven. If you haven't heard that, there'll be opportunity today for you to come before Jesus and say, "I repent of my past and I accept the forgiveness of Jesus." Jesus never said, "Your sins will be forgiven or might be forgiven." He said, "They are forgiven." Because when you come to Jesus, that's what he does. He wipes away the past, the sinful nature that we carry, and he brings us into his glory, given by the Father. So how about us? Are you familiar with church life? So familiar that you've lost your gratitude? Are you complacent about God's call on your life? When we enter into the family, we don't enter in just to sit in the pews. We enter in to worship and honour God and to serve him. Many, many years ago, you may have accepted Jesus as Lord and Saviour. It doesn't end there. There's a life to live for Jesus. Quite often, we can fall into a routine, just following the rules, as Simon followed the predominantly man-made laws, assuming all is okay. Has the ability to express our love for Jesus become dull? You can only answer that for yourself. No one can point the finger at you, because if we do, we're just acting like Simon. Pointing the finger at other people, pointing the finger at the woman saying how sinful she was, but not recognizing our own sinful nature. In reality, we should act like the woman, forgiven. Act as people who have been forgiven, because we have. The reason we can come with confidence and know that Jesus has forgiven us is because he went to the cross. He paid the price for me and for you. He hung on the cross and he died and told us it is finished. He went into the grave and he took the penalty for my sin and for your sin. But praise God, he didn't stay there. He rose again on the third day to prove he had power over sin and death. He had power over anything that holds you. If we think we're too intellectual, as Simon, we know we've been educated, we know the law, we know we're okay. But Jesus says, it's not about the laws, it's about relationship. And so I've come to fulfill the laws. Don't let anything like that get in your way. So today what I'd ask is, we're going to play a song just in a minute, which will just reiterate what I've been talking about. During that time, if you know that you've never given your life to Jesus, take courage, just like the woman. Come forward. We'll pray for you. You too today can accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. You may have been in church for years, but never actually prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to come into your life to forgive you of your sins and start a journey walking with Jesus. Not the Jesus that Simon knew, but the Jesus that the woman knew. Likewise, if you've been in church for long and you think maybe that's become a little bit routine, you can come and we'll pray that you can move on. And you can pray for me as well, because I want more. I want more every day. I don't want to just get into a routine and tick all the boxes. I want more of Jesus every day. Jesus can give you a hope for the future. You might think you've had a pretty good life so far. It can be better with Jesus. I'm not saying it'll be easier, but it will be better. You will have a certain hope of your final destination. You'll know that you are going to heaven to spend eternity with the family, with Jesus, and with God forever. I've met many people who go to churches and they say, I don't know whether I'm going to go to heaven. And that surprises me, because I do. I know that what Jesus did on that cross, what he did at that resurrection, is my assurance that I'm going. I'm not perfect, and I never will be until I get there to heaven. And I'm there with Jesus in his presence. The aim is to get into his presence on a daily basis. So as we play this song, come forward if you want to give your life to Jesus. If you realize that I need more, come, we'll pray. Most of us in this room have taken those steps in front of a crowded room. That woman came into a crowded room knowing she was going to be rejected, hated, and she would feel the bitterness. And she didn't care. She went straight up to the feet of Jesus because she knew that's where she would get salvation. She knew that's where she'd get freedom. So when the song's playing, if you want to, you can come and we'll pray with you to ask Jesus into your life. If you've already got Jesus in your life but you want more, you can come this side and we'll pray for you. And then when the song's finished, Brian will come back up with the worship group and lead us in more worship. And then Lee will close. And if you want prayer for anything else, then you come forward, people will pray for you. Because we're a family here and we want to see people move on together in Jesus.